The time will be a factor, but I'll do my very best. Seems like after lunch, the time gets away and you never get it back. I want to thank the elders for the opportunity to be here, and Brother Emmanuel for all the work he does as the director of the school, Brother Denver Cooper, the fine gospel sermons and preaching that he does in all the years that he's been preaching the gospel, the instructors of the school, the students, this congregation, and all of the ones that had work to do with this lectureship. I thank you very much for the opportunity to come and to be with you today. Norm Leach, I have to thank him. I started kidding Norm a couple of years ago. I said, do you have any pull down there? Why don't you get me on that lecture? And Norm said, it cost me a lot of money. I had to pay him. So the next year, I wasn't on it. And then this year, he said that he helped get that second year there up. He told me a little bit ago that second month, a week to have there. He said, if he got the budget up that high, they'd let me come back. He said, I can't do that next year. He said, I'm retired now, so I probably won't be back. Brother Lewis Rushmore, I don't understand the question, so I can't answer you. I'll just hit you with my purse after this lesson. I don't know what you're doing. Steve Stevens, I knew that was a masterpiece. We're going to try to get him to do that when he comes in May in a gospel meeting at East Liverpool to teach this material. I knew he'd be the man for the job, because when I stayed in 100 on his inner gospel meeting, we're very busy, and he has a large family, and all week we're running and working, and he put me in a room and said, when you make that material for the school on miracles, you can come out of the room. I had about 3 days in that room. And he said, if you're good, Saturday, he's a tough man, Saturday we'll go to the mall. I was looking forward to that mall. But one day, I think it was a Friday, I was invited out to eat, just me, and I was going to walk around the corner and go to the folks' home and eat, and all the family had somewhere to go, even Steve, and they just were out of that house. And it was quiet. And I was tying my tie and getting ready to go to that place, and I just turned the television on in the living room to get some CNN. I hadn't had any all week to watch CNN. He'd forgotten something, come back to the house, walking through, he turned that off, said, Barney Ledger, you've had enough of that stuff. So he's a tough man. My lesson is to talk about, in these times, we need to solidify the home by godly mothers in times like these. If I had the power to turn back the clock, go back to the house at the end of the block, the house that was home when I was a kid, I know that I love it more now than I did. If I could be back there at my mother's knee and hear once again all the things she told me, I'd listen, because I never listened before, for she knew so well just what life had in store. And all the advice my dad used to give, his voice I'll remember as long as I live. But it didn't seem really important then, what I'd give just to live it over again. And what I'd give for the chance I once had to do so much more for my mother and dad. To give them more joy and a little less pain. A little more sunshine and a little less rain. But the years roll on and we cannot go back, whether we were born in a mansion or in a shack. But we can start right now in the hour that's here to do something more for the ones we hold dear. And since time, its flight, is traveling so fast, let's not spend it regretting that which is past. But let's make tomorrow a happier day by doing our good to others today. I wasn't raised in a Christian home, but my parents did the very best job with a heathen like me. I brought a lot of pain to my parents. But my mother, one thing she had down pat was the discipline. She could really discipline. And I needed that, and that's probably why, as Steve said, I'm where I am today. I did get to do one wonderful thing for my mother, baptize her into Christ. The second time she heard me preach the gospel, she came forward in a public assembly, and I baptized her into Christ. And she lived the rest of her years faithful to the Lord, faithful unto death, a Christian. And so I was able to do that, to teach her the gospel and to baptize her into Christ. But I appreciate so much now what the home is, and a Christian home, and I vowed that I'd always have one. I'd want one. I didn't really understand the Bible or know the scriptures, but I knew what the home should be and what it could be. We have a fine Christian home. I have a godly wife. She's a godly mother. We have a wonderful home. My father-in-law and mother-in-law are faithful to the Lord. He's an elder there, the congregation. My daughter and her husband are faithful Christians, and they're bringing their daughter up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. She's 5 years old, my granddaughter. And it's wonderful to have a family in the congregation where I preach. And I'll just tell you, on Sundays, we're together almost all day. On Wednesday nights, we're together. We have our evening meal there on Sundays, and we talk and we spend time, and it's wonderful. And the home is that place where I can go to when all the problems of life come crashing down, and I'm out there in the daytime and things aren't going well, and I can go home. Home makes everything all right. If you keep that box off, keep it turned to the back wall, you won't let anything in. Everything's all right. We go home. In Titus 2, verses 3 to 5. Titus chapter 2, verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Godly mothers are teachers of good things. The older women to the younger women are teachers of good things when they teach the word of God, when they teach the truth to their children. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own parents, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That's what we're going to use as our text this afternoon as we talk about solidifying the home by godly mothers in times like these. The home is certainly under attack from all sides. The moral fiber of our nation is deteriorating. We can see that in the lesson that we just heard about, and in the lesson on godly fathers was a good lesson. All the lessons today have been excellent. For the most part, our nation is a lot like in Jeremiah's day, when Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, would look around and see the condition of the nation. And in Jeremiah 6 and verse 15, were they ashamed when they committed abomination? Nay. They were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Good people, I feel that our nation has failed and lost the ability to blush. The ungodliness and the immorality and the things that are being said and done, they can't blush. When you look at some of these ungodly talk shows and the things that are being discussed, they can't blush. Our nation is not ashamed of its sins, and our nation cannot blush. Therefore, we need godly mothers to solidify the home. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I don't care how great our nation has been, how free it is, it can fall. When you look at Psalm 9, verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Any nation that forgets God is a doomed nation, including our nation. We have a heart problem. Men's hearts are not right with God. The mind of man needs to be changed by the word of God. In Proverbs 4, verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Out of the heart come the issues of life. It starts in the heart. It starts in the mind with a thought. And then men sin and commit those evil things. In Matthew 15, verse 19, Jesus would say, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. So if things are going to get better, it's going to be because there are godly mothers in the home that at a very young age can take these tender hearts, these tender minds, and teach the right principles into those hearts, the Word of God. And not only do the mothers need to teach the Word of God, they need to believe the Word of God. They need to be godly mothers that are living it. The best and greatest example, or teacher is example. The greatest teacher is example. In Hosea 4 and verse 6, he said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We certainly need to be educated about these things that are coming our way, this ungodly media and all the other things. In Hosea 4, verses 1 and 2, and this sounds like you're reading the daily newspaper, like you're looking at something that's happening right now. in times like these. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, no mercy, no knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. Violence. And just as in Hosea's day, these things were happening. Good people, in our day, they're happening. And we can't close our eyes to them, and we can't go and bury our heads in the sand. We have to deal with them. And we need godly mothers in the home that will solidify that home and teach the young people the right thing. The Word of God. Sin abounds throughout the land. In 1 John 3, verse 4, sin is a transgression of God's law. And in 1 John 5 and verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin. And in Romans 6, 23, the wages of sin is death. Sin is still too expensive. It'll cost you your soul. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And Jesus said in John 8, 34, he that committeth sin becomes the bondservant of sin. And so if people are going to change and things are going to change, it's going to be by the right kind of teaching placed within their hearts and minds. There's homosexuality and abortion, divorce, drugs, gambling, drinking, dancing, adultery, fornication, humanism, materialism, ungodly media, immorality, cursing, lying, stealing, murder, suicide, immodesty, teen pregnancy. Babies are having babies. Little girls that ought to be playing with baby dolls have real babies. Because mothers aren't teaching that premarital sex is sin. They're being taught today, well, you do not want to have sex because you'll catch AIDS. That's not the reason. You do not want to have premarital sex. It's sin. And if you abstain from all appearances of evil and abstain from those things, of course you're not going to get AIDS and these other things. But the reason for staying away from that and not doing that is because the Bible says it's wrong. And we need godly mothers that will teach their children, their daughters, and their sons to abstain from premarital sex. Pornography, the problem of pornography. Galatians 5, 19 to 21 catalogs these things and says the such like, anything like it, is sin, is wrong. And he that does such things cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We need godly mothers that will speak against the works of the flesh, not condone them. I've heard of cases of mothers that were Christians that when their young daughter or son were only 15 years old and started smoking, they couldn't buy the cigarettes, so the mother would buy it for them. You don't do that. You don't do that. You get them to stop doing what is wrong. If they start drinking, are we going to buy the beer and bring it in, or the whiskey, or whatever it is? If they start committing fornication, we allow them to do that in the home. You know, you have to stop and draw the line at the works of the flesh in Galatians 5, 19 to 21. In Proverbs 22, 6, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I realize that if after mother's done all that she can do in the home, and she has been the good example, and she has been the godly mother, and she has lived the Christian life, and she has taught the proper things to her child, they're a free moral agent. And one day they're going to come out into real life. And they're going to face these things, and they must say no to these things. Based upon the principles they've learned at home, based upon the Word of God, based upon the things that mothers put into their life and hearts. And we pray they will. When my family comes over on Sunday, they stay all day. Sometimes come Saturday night and stay. My little granddaughter, there's a little room she goes in and has a little table there that she has her meal, and she has her little tapes that they let her watch. And sometimes I'll go past the door and she may see me and say, hi, little pappy. Boy, you can't put a price tag on that. Or she may not see me, and I stand there and just watch in the hallway, and I think, I wish I could freeze her in time. I wish I could just keep her there 5 years old forever. And she'd never have to go out here and face any of these problems or any of these difficulties or these sins. But I know I can't do that. And so I know she has a godly mother, my daughter. She has a godly grandmother, my wife.
And she has a godly great-grandmother, a wise mother. And they're teaching her. And they're instilling as much as they can in her heart and bringing her up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, because there's going to be one day when she'll be out there to face these things, as will your children and your children's children. We need godly mothers like Eunice, Timothy's mother. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. Valuable lessons from Timothy's mother that would last him a lifetime, that would help him and guide him through his life, because they came from the Word of God. Mothers that will instill in their sons and daughters principles from the Word of God that will guide their lives. They can in turn teach their sons and daughters and guide their lives. The role of women is seen in Titus 2 verse 5 to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Before I describe those or define those, let me say this. Some of the poorest children in our world are the children deprived of a godly mother. I go to places, as do gospel preachers, to take food. And it breaks your heart. We'll be called, and once in a while we go to the place, and Anita, I take her with me. I take an elder, I take someone. I don't go by myself. That's not wise, young preacher boys. And the mother will have, if she's there, she will have beer on her breath. Now, she called because I had no food at all, but she had beer on her breath. And she apologized to us and said, "Oh, I know you smell this, but it's my birthday, and a neighbor brought over a couple beers for me." The poorest children are the children deprived of a godly mother, that never get to hear their mother read the scriptures or sing a hymn or teach them the stories from the Bible. And I've gone to places where the mother wasn't there. She called and then took off. And the children are there all by themselves. And they didn't have very much clothing on. They were dirty and they were hungry. But what they needed more than anything was a mother to pick them up and to love them and to hold them. One time a woman asked a gospel preacher, "When should I start working with my child?" "How old's your child, ma'am?" "My child's 3 years old. Run home as fast as you can," he said, "and scoop that child up into your arms and love that child and spend all the time you can with that child and teach that child the valuable lessons from your heart and from the Word of God." They're to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Discreet comes from sober-minded, temperate, of sound mind, sane, curbing one's desires and impulse of self-controlled. I know there were times when I wondered if my mother was sane, but I was trying to drive her insane. Do not go out that road, and do not take your bicycle out that highway, because you'll be killed. I'm going anyway. If you go, I'll cut your tires, both tires. She just bought a brand new bike, and I know she won't. And so I went with my friends out that highway. It took us 8 hours. And she had called the police and the neighbors, and everyone thought I was dead. And when I got home, she was crying. And that, you know, when you make your mother cry, you never forget that. And I heard one of the neighbors run to her and say, "Jane," she was saying, "he's dead, he's dead. I know he's dead." He said, "Jane, he's alive." She said, "I'm going to kill him." And you know, I wondered, there's something wrong here. You know, minutes ago, he's dead, and I'm so sad. He's alive, I'll kill him. Well, I can understand that now. And I know why she used to say to me all the time, "I want to be around when you have children." Oh, I was a bad one. Chaste, pure from carnality, modest. Keepers at home, not just stayers at home. And there is a vast difference in staying at home and keeping the home. Keeping the home. Activities of the home, working at home. I appreciate my wife and what she does. I've had to do it a couple of times when she was in the hospital, and it was a tragedy. I had one plate and one set of silverware I'd used. Wonder I didn't get ptomaine poisoning. I didn't want to wash any dishes. When I washed the clothes, I threw everything in at once. The reds, the blues, the whites. I had undershirts that were pink for months and years.
No, they do a great job. We need to tell them so.
Good, of a good constitution or nature, pleasant, agreeable, joyful, good-hearted, upright, honorable. My mother was a good-hearted person.
And as we're doing this lesson this afternoon, you'll be thinking about your mother and your grandmother, and they were good-hearted people. My mother used to feed the neighbor boys and girls because they didn't have any food. There was a family behind us that they had some food, but the dad wouldn't let them have it. He and the wife would sit down and eat the food, and the children would just watch them eat that food, and then whatever was left, the children could have it. And when he'd go out of town and go on a job, he was a truck driver, my mother would say, "Come on, kids, get over here." And she had a whole table set up. And they ate. She was good-hearted.
Obedient to their own husbands, in subjection, as they're in subjection to Christ, subjection to their husbands.
The role of women is seen in the home. Women have the power to shape the future.
To solidify the home by godly mothers, solidify means to make it solid. And we make that home solid by godly mothers.
The early formative years of a child are guided by loving Christian mothers.
The professionals say that the first 6 years of a child's life are the most important.
We found this out a few years ago when I came to St. Clair Avenue. We didn't have a cradle roll class, and someone approached us and said, "You could have a cradle roll class." And we said, "What's that?" And they said, "Well, you get a room, and you have a table, and there are these little seats in there with little seat belts, and you put the children in there. There's a teacher sits right in the middle of that table, and she teaches them, and they're 6 months old, the children." And we thought, 6 months old? So we did it, and they learned. They learn these little stories and these little songs and these little things. My granddaughter used to come out patting her Bible. She learned to pat her Bible.
So the professionals say the first 6 years of a child's life are the most important. For the most part, all of the child's personality and character is formed in those first 6 years.
If the mother is not in the home at the crucial time, at the precious time, valuable time is lost.
Why should television and magazines, especially after the lesson we just heard, produced by non-Christians and ungodly people, try to do this for us?
Because they never can.
What about daycare? 4.6 million children are in daycare. For some, this is a necessity. There are more and more mothers that have to work because of the economic conditions. Mothers have to work. In the year 2000, 3 out of 4 women will work outside the home. I'm not questioning the moral implications of it, but the problem's still this. They're away from their children. They're not there. Someone else has to do the job they could do, and they can't do it as well as the mother, as a godly mother can do. The ideal situation is if mother can be with the child and bring the child up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Titus tells the older women to teach the younger women to love their husbands. This means the proper love and respect due to a husband. And you wouldn't think you'd have to teach something like this. You would think it comes natural. To some people it does. But others have to be taught. To love their children. This also seems like a natural act. That women ought to automatically love their children and care for them. But it's not always the case. A few years ago, we were shocked at a young mother that placed both babies in the back seat of the car, in their little car seats, and strapped them in, and let off the emergency brake, and let the car roll down into the water, and both babies were drowned. It breaks your heart. And when asked, "Why did she do this?" she said, "My boyfriend doesn't like children."
Your what?
You shouldn't have one.
That's why it's important to understand what Titus is talking about, that the aged women teach the younger women to love their husbands and love their children. Someone needed to teach that girl to love her husband and love her children. And they didn't do it.
In the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament, we see godly mothers. Moses' mother was a godly mother. In Hebrews 11, verse 23, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. And Jochebed, his mother, was able to spend time with Moses and bring him up and teach him these valuable lessons. In Hebrews 11, 24 and 25, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I know that some of that came from his godly mother, from the word of God, of course. But for him to make the right choice, to refuse, our children need to refuse certain things. To refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and choose rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God. Refuse and choose. That's taught by godly mothers. Refuse the wrong things and choose the right things. She taught him to serve God and the importance of faith over wealth and power. Godly mothers and teaching from the Word of God is needed today. Just as much as in Moses' day that his mother needed to teach him, godly mothers need to teach their children. Mothers today need to teach these same valuable lessons. We need taught that suffering and sorrow may come when you are a Christian. Mother can teach these great lessons. There have been godly mothers that have made evening meals for gospel preachers and put up gospel preachers in their home. Denver could tell you stories about this. One year, Denver spent several weeks telling us about gospel preachers, and I learned a lot in that. I think they videotaped that. The old gospel preachers. In 1 Peter 4:16, these godly mothers can teach their children that suffering and sorrow may come our way merely because we're following Christ. If we would tell our children that when you become a Christian, there'll never be a problem, there'll never be a trial the first time they have one, they'd quit. They'd give up. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in his behalf. And they can teach their children about 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's going to come. And they need to know it. Children need to be taught the importance of obeying the gospel. And the plan of salvation can be taught by mother at home to hear the word of God, to believe it, to be willing to repent of your sins. When the children are of an age of accountability, she can teach them to confess Jesus Christ, to be baptized for the remission of your sins, and to be faithful unto death. Not be faithful for a week or a month or a year, but a lifetime. Revelation 2:10, be faithful unto death. I was told the story of a mother that would walk 5 miles, we call it church, to worship and Bible study. She would take her oldest son, who was probably only 6 years old at the time. They didn't have any transportation at the time, and Dad would stay home with the younger children in the evening. He would walk her 5 miles, and he would go to worship. And she would stay home with the children then. But one day when this young boy was walking with his mother, it was so cold, he said she was warm breath coming down across her coat. There was ice formed on her coat. And they were walking there 5 miles. There probably people today wouldn't go 5 minutes to worship. 5 steps. I'm talking about walking 5 miles with a young child and carrying your Bible and your books and whatever else you had. He said one day when they were on that road, an angry dog came up on the road, got him by the leg, and dragged him down off the road through the bushes and down a deep ravine. You wouldn't think things like that could happen. And that godly mother put down her books and all the things that she had and had to run down through the woods and get her son back from that dog. I'm glad she did. He's an elder of the church at East Liverpool. Brother Lauren Roberts. It's no surprise to me that his brother's a faithful gospel preacher. His other brother's a faithful member of the Lord's church. His sister's a faithful member married to an elder. Those things don't happen by accident. They're brought up to believe the truth by a godly mother that believes it herself and would walk 5 miles to Bible study and worship. Samuel's mother, Hannah, made a great sacrifice. When you look at 1 Samuel 1:2, 1 Samuel 1:11 to 27, 1 Samuel 2:19 to 20, Hannah had no child. And she prayed to God that she'd have a child. And when she was given the child, she made a great sacrifice. She She gave her only child to God, dedicating to the service of God. She was able to visit him, make him a coat. He was under Eli's tutelage. But she never really had him like mothers can have their child today and bring them up. But she dedicated her child. What great sacrifice she made in giving her only child to the service of the Lord. And we have to ask the question, do mothers do that today? Godly mothers will teach their children to become elders, and preachers, deacons, faithful members of the Lord's church, and their daughters to marry elders and deacons and preachers. But we have to ask the question, mothers, do you stop your children from serving the Lord by allowing them to miss Bible study and worship? You know, children get to a certain age and they say, I'm not going today. And if you give in just once and not let them go to Bible study and worship, I'm afraid you've lost them to that. It'd be very hard. You might get them back, but don't give in one time. Mother said, I put the foot down, keep it there. That's the problem. We put it down, but we have to keep it there. We wouldn't let them miss school. I can remember my dear mother had a system. The first call was, get up. I'm not going to. The second call was, get up. I'm not going to. I never said it. I just slept. But the third call was a shoe coming up to the landing. Well, I knew the fourth call was her coming up the steps, and I didn't want that. 110 pounds of Hungarian meanness. I sure didn't want that. The woman was from New York City, and she was tough. I didn't get my... I really don't have any fighting abilities. My mother was a fighter. My dad was a runner. I run. I outran 9 men one time in the Navy. They were trying to beat me up. I outran all 9 of them. Not bringing them to class or worship because they're too young. We just said. The experts say, listen, this starts at a very young age. Our school system knows. They're starting them earlier and earlier in preschool and kindergarten because they learn. Making excuses for them when they need discipline. Not being a good example yourself, and that's one of the great problems. Mother must believe the book and live it. We need to train a child. Let me read this little reading to you. I don't think it's in the book. One day you will turn around to hug them. They will be gone. Do it now. One day you'll turn around to show them some promise of God. They will be gone. Do it now. One day you'll turn around to show them some treasure of your heart. They will be gone. Do it now. They grow up so very quickly. We blink our eyes, turn around a couple of times, and they're gone. One day you'll turn around to correct them for some unseemly manner. They will be gone. Do it now. One day you'll turn around to apologize to them for some selfish mistake you made. They will be gone. Do it now. One day you'll turn around to enjoy them. And oh, we need to enjoy them. They will be gone. Do it now. One day you'll turn around to guide them. They will be gone. Do it now. In the New Testament, we have the example of Jesus' mother in Luke 2 and verse 40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and grace of God was upon him. In Luke 2:52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Jesus' mother was a godly mother that taught him valuable lessons from her life in the Word of God. Elizabeth, mother of John the Baptist, was a godly mother. In Luke 1, verse 6, Elizabeth and Zacharias walked in all the commandments of God, and she taught him valuable lessons. What is the conclusion today? Godly mothers make sacrifices for their children. They do. They make sacrifices for their children. And they try to be the best examples possible to teach their children the great and precious promises found in the Word of God. And godly mothers want their children to go to heaven. And mothers have gone without so their children can have a better life. But let's not forget the most important thing. Our children need a Christian home based upon the Word of God. This little reading is in your book. It says the mother's love, and I think it says it all. Over the forest and treeless plains, and over the heights above, 'tis ever the same, the heart of the home is the throb of the mother's love. It kneels by the bed of a drowsy head and whispers a lullaby that softly streams through the baby's dreams. Fear not, mother is nigh. It flows from her lips to her fingertips, caressing the baby's curls. It shines in her eyes that sympathize with the tears of her little girls. The sorrows and joys of her little boys it only can understand. And it hallows the touch we love so much, the pressure of a mother's hand. It mends the ball and broken doll, it finds the missing knife, and all day long it weaves a song round the wearisome tasks of life. It looks above to a God of love and sighs, "Thy will be done." On every sea, on every land, beneath sky's blue dome, the mother's love is the life and the light and the throbbing heart of the home. In times like these, let's have godly mothers that solidify the home.